Welcome back into Sports Night, where now we're pleased to be joined by Tim Kirkjian of ESPN talking some MLB pennant races. Now, Tim, you were at Mariano Rivera's last game as a New York Yankee in Yankee Stadium. Tell us, what was that like for you to be there?
Well, I'm 56 years old, and I've covered baseball for 33 years. And other than the Cal Ripken celebration of 21-31, that was probably the most moving night for me at a major league ballpark. And even though it only took 4 or 5 minutes for the whole ceremony, just to see Andy Pettit and Derek Jeter walk out there, and the way that those two, especially Pettit, hugged Mariano Rivera, and to see those real tears flowing, and then to see Joe Girardi in tears during the game when Rivera went in and came out, and then to see Joe Girardi in tears again after the game as he addressed the media, it just goes to show you how beloved Mariano Rivera is, how much he means to the Yankees, and how much he means to baseball. That's just another one of those nights that I'll never forget for the rest of my life.
All right, now, Tim, now moving on to some teams that are actually going to be in the playoffs. Talking about the Pittsburgh Pirates, the first time they've been in the playoffs in 21 years. How significant is this for baseball, and how far do you think they can go?
Well, I think it's great for baseball, and, you know, we only root for the story, and it's a great story that the Pirates are in this thing. And I think, given baseball in 2013 with no prohibitive favorites, I think the Pirates can go a long way. I think I could say that about almost all 10 of the teams in the playoffs. Their pitching is very good. They've stabilized their bullpen with Jason Grilley's return. And even though they're not great offensively, they have more weapons than they did a month and a half ago. So I like their club right now, and they're playing pretty well. But it would really, really be a shame if, say, they were to just get in as a wild card, play one road game at Cincinnati, lose, and that would be it. That's what they're trying to avoid, and I think there are a lot of people pulling for that because I think people would like to see postseason baseball in Pittsburgh once again.
Tim, Mark Weber here. The Dodgers spent so much money in the offseason, and at first, things didn't work out for them so well. However, once the season concluded, they ran away with a division title in the NL West. Tim, are the Dodgers the new Yankees?
There's certainly something there. They have the most money to spend, and they're certainly willing to spend it, and they're not apologizing for doing that. They have ownership that has deep pockets and a TV contract that is out of this world, so they're in a position to do that. But the reason that they're the team, I believe, to beat in the National League is their pitching has gotten really, really good. They made a very smart move, signing Zach Greinke as a free agent, and now when you can take Clayton Kershaw, who's going to win the Cy Young in the National League, and follow him with Greinke, and then Hyun-Jin Ryu, who's been very good for them, 14 wins, and Ricky Nolasco is a fourth, that's a pretty good team. But if they're going to be like the Yankees, they're going to have to start winning world championships. And I'm not suggesting they're the team to beat in the major leagues this October, but they're pretty good, and they're going to be formidable for any team.
Talking with Tim Kirkjian of ESPN here on Sports Night. Now, Tim, the Red Sox last year went from being a disaster to this year going all the way to winning the AL East. Besides the hiring of John Farrell, how have they been able to turn this around so quickly?
They brought in a lot of good players. I mean, Johnny Gomes and Mike Napoli and Shane Victorino and Stephen Drew. Those are all good players, and at least three of them have a real winning background. And then they bolstered their pitching staff with Jake Peavy, and Koji Uehara has given them a great lift out of the bullpen. But, you know, this is a very human game, and these guys simply were not in the right frame of mind to play the game the right way last year, and that was their fault. But the chemistry on that team is so good now. When you bring in that many new players from winning backgrounds, it really translates, and they've got a great mojo going on in Boston right now. And what an amazing story that is to go from, not even winning 70 games last year to being the first to 70, first to 80, first to 90, and maybe, who knows, the first to 100 this year if the rest of the season goes right.
One of the biggest mysteries in baseball are the Oakland A's. They were able to beat out the big-time Rangers and Angels for the division once again. Could this finally be the year that they reach Billy Beane's dream of making the Fall Classic?
Yeah, I think this team is good enough. Again, I think 9, maybe even all 10 teams are good enough to go to the World Series. That's how evenly matched. But the A's score a lot of runs. They're third in the league in runs scored. They prevent a lot of runs. They're third in the league in ERA. Their bullpen is very, very good, deep, versatile, just how you need it for the postseason. And when you look at their club, again, it's another young, hungry team that doesn't give a damn about anything, whether it's a terrible ballpark, a small payroll, no one coming to their games, whatever it might be. But I warn everyone, going to Oakland in the postseason is no fun anymore for a playoff team, because that place, even though it doesn't draw real well during the regular season, it fills up with some crazy fans during the postseason, and that is a very difficult place to play. And that's another reason that you have to give the A's a chance to do something here in October.
Now, Tim, another team in the AL that really turned some heads this year, the Cleveland Indians. They made a big-time offseason hire, bringing in Terry Francona. Just how big of an impact has he had on that organization?
It's been huge, and I was there the first week of spring training, and you could feel it the minute you walked in the room, the presence that he brought to that team. I'm telling you, with our young players, especially today, you have to show them some sort of track record. You have to have credibility among the players. Otherwise, they're simply not going to listen to you. And young and old players alike saw Terry Francona walk in the room and said, wow, he's our manager now. He's won 2 World Series. We're ready to go. And even though it's taken some time, they are really going well right now. The way they have pitched lately has been tremendous. But mostly, it's Terry Francona telling them all, look, we're better than people think. We can win. And that's the kind of attitude they promote every single day.
With all these great underdog stories and all these great come-from-behind tales, the one team that always remains on top, it seems, is the Detroit Tigers. They've been compared to the 1961 Yankees as Cabrera and Fielder, have looked at as the Mantle and Maris of our generation. Are the Tigers being underlooked?
Well, I'm going to need to see them win the World Series before I'm going to start comparing them to any team, especially any of those great Yankee teams. But it is a great offensive team. They're second in the league in runs scored. More important, they're the best pitching team in the American League and maybe in the major leagues. Their starting rotation has the most quality starts in the league. And when you can go Verlander, Scherzer, or Scherzer, Verlander, and then Anibal Sanchez, Doug Fister, that's a pretty darn good 4. They have 5 10-game winners in their rotation, which is very unusual these days. But they're built to win, and they got to win now. They can't go back to the World Series, lose again, and consider it a successful season. This team is built to win the World Series, and they certainly have all the elements, especially now that Joaquin Benoit has really stabilized their closer situation.
We're pleased to be joined by Tim Kirkjian of ESPN here on Sports Night. Now, Tim, a team that really coasted pretty much throughout the entire season, winning that NL East title, the Atlanta Braves, after getting off to that 12-1 start. Atlanta's got a lot of guys in that lineup that strike out. Do you have any concerns for this team going into the playoffs, considering the fact that they really coasted that division title so early?
Yeah, I'm still worried about how easily they are to pitch to. If a guy comes in there and is able to throw a breaking ball on 2-0 or 3-1, they are a dead red fastball hitting team. And if someone can come in there and massage them a little bit, finesse them a little bit, you can really get that team in trouble. If you look at their times they've been shut out and the times they've been held to 3 hits or less, it doesn't follow that they've been this good of a team. So they are vulnerable to certain pitching, and that could affect them in the postseason. Plus, I'm not sure who their game one starter is for the postseason. I'm not sure they have that guy that they can throw out there and feel 100% confident that they're going to get a great start from him in game one, especially on some enemy mound. So I'm not saying they're not good. They're obviously good, but I'm going to need to see this work in the playoffs before I'm going to be 100% convinced.
Despite all the obstacles, the Cardinals still manage to remain elite, whether it's losing Albert Pujols and future Hall of Fame manager Tony La Russa. Tim, how do the Cardinals do it?
Well, they have the best farm system in baseball, and we see it all the time, and we've especially seen it this year. If you look at what Shelby Miller, a rookie, has done, it has been remarkable. Michael Wacha, another rookie, almost threw a no-hitter the other day. Trevor Rosenthal is now going to be their closer, at least from what I can see, in the postseason. he's a rookie also. And these guys are just ready when they get to the big leagues, much readier than, say, guys from other organizations. And I'm convinced also when they get there, they put that Cardinal uniform on, and as corny as it sounds, they can feel the history of that place. And there's a certain way you conduct yourself as a Cardinal, and these guys know that the minute they put the uniform on. That, together with a team that is unbelievable with runners at scoring position, you put clutch hitting together with power, young pitching, and that's a really good combination.
All right, Tim, before we let you go, while a lot of teams are certainly going to be living the dream and playing in the playoffs, there's no doubt a lot of teams failed to live up to expectations this year. Teams like the Washington Nationals, the Los Angeles Angels with that loaded lineup. In your eyes, Tim, who do you think is the most disappointing team this season?
Well, it's probably a three-way tie with the Nationals, the Blue Jays, and the Angels. But I'm going to take the Angels just because they signed Albert Pujols 2 years ago, Josh Hamilton last year, C.J. Wilson 2 years ago, and they were built to win, and they haven't been to the playoffs either year, and they likely aren't going to finish over 500 this year. So I think they have to be considered the biggest disappointment, even though they've played awfully well here lately, and they may give the Rangers some trouble here down the stretch. But I thought they'd be much better than this, but now you look at them with a critical eye, and you wonder, when are they going back to the playoffs? If they don't severely do something to their pitching staff, I don't think they're going next year either.
That is Tim Kirchin of ESPN. Tim, thanks a lot for all the good stuff. We appreciate it.
Okay, guys. See you.